For our scripture reading, we turn to the book of Lamentations. I'd like to read and get a little bit of the context, the very beginning, some of the verses from Lamentations 1. And then go on to Lamentations 3. Seeing the first, read the first five verses of Lamentations, one verse, chapter one, the first five verses. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and a princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate, her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her, for the multitude of her transgressions, her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And now we turn to Lamentations 3. And we'll read the first 36 verses. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this morning. And the text that we consider this morning in connection with the Lord's Supper is verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we read a little bit of the context to see something about the Book of Lamentations, the Book of Lamentations written by Jeremiah. So Jeremiah was inspired writer of the Book of Jeremiah and also of the Book of Lamentations. And he speaks about the captivity. The prophet Jeremiah lived before and during the time that the people of Judah were taken into captivity. And he speaks of the judgment of God that came upon the people, as he had spoken that it would. Repeatedly he had said that it would. And he speaks of how God is chastening his people, that he loves them, that he is merciful. And it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. In such a trial as this, we have written the words of this text. That living in a time like that, as difficult as it was for the people of God that lived through that, for the saints to confess, the Lord is my portion. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He's chastening us in his love for us. He's my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. It's good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Even in the trial that they're going through, to make that confession, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That is the context. And as we read that, and in the trials that we face, on the one hand, the Lord's Supper directs our attention to the sacrifice of Christ. As this passage brings out the sin of the people and the judgment that comes upon them, of course we know God chastens his people in love. What is it that we deserve? And the Lord's Supper directs us to consider Christ's perfect sacrifice. Just as in this past week, we were to consider the curse we deserve and what Christ suffered. He reconciled us to God. And that we're to come and as those that are sorrowing for our sins, turning from our sins to God, purposing to show thankfulness to God in our whole life, thankful for the perfect sacrifice of our Savior. And also, that this text brings out that we are satisfied having Jehovah as our God, our portion. And the Lord's Supper pictures how Christ is nourishing our soul. It pictures what Christ has done for us, and it also directs us to what he's doing within us. And we'll see that in the Lord's Supper form too. It directs us to consider what he's done for us, and also what he's doing within us now. We have communion. Call it the Lord's Supper communion. We have communion with God. And one who says, Jehovah is my portion, is saying, I'm content. I have God. He's the one that nourishes my soul. He's the one that's upholding me. And we sing this, and we had some Psalter numbers that bring out that idea. We sing of this in the Psalms, this idea that we confess he is our portion. We are content, we are satisfied, we are joyful. We hope in our God. We consider this text under the theme, the Lord is my portion. We consider, first of all, that idea of our portion. Secondly, that we make this confession, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. And then lastly, our hope, that the text ends by making a reference, therefore will I hope in him. Jehovah is my portion. That is language that was used with regard to the priest. That the priests were told that Jehovah was their portion. The different tribes had different pieces of land in the promised land. And then there was the tribe of Levi and the priests that were of the tribe of Levi. And we read in Numbers 18, verse 20, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, who was the priest, chosen by God to be priest, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. That was what was said to Aaron, to the priest. I am thy part and thine inheritance. They weren't going to receive this section of land like the other tribes did. Of course, that directed us to consider this idea that Jehovah is our portion. We are priests under Jesus Christ. A kingdom of priests. Jehovah is our portion. Brings out the idea of the covenant. He is our God. We are his people. There's a passage that says Jehovah's portion is his people. And he is our portion. He is our God. Christ and his church. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. It's the language that is found in Scripture. Christ and his church, he's our head, he's our Lord, he's our husband. We are members of his bride. And there are some who are happy and content with him. But many seek happiness apart from God. Many would like to be away from where the Word of God is taught. And if they get away from where the Word of God is taught, then they feel the happier. They'd like to be away from where the Word is soundly explained. Many of their thoughts are on things below. And their desire is to have more and more of these things. We sing in Psalm 31, in Psalter number 31, rather, which is a versification of Psalm 17, the sixth stanza. Defend me from the men of pride whose portion, see that idea of portion, whose portion is below, who with life's treasures satisfied, no better portion, no. They're interested in their own pleasure, possessions, pleasures. They with earth's joys and wealth content must leave them all when life is spent. Many are not content with God. Many do not desire to hear the word of God. They set their hearts on things of this earth. And then there are others who are content having Jehovah, having communion with Him, having Him nourish their souls. And that's what the Lord's Supper pictures, and the fact that there's only some people that partake of the Lord's Supper illustrates the idea that it's particular, that there are some who are nourished in their soul. And this is a sacrament instituted, that Christ instituted, to be observed by the church, not all human beings, but the church, who are nourished in their souls, the ones for whom Christ died. And then the question is, are we content with God alone? Are we content with the fact that we have Jehovah God as our portion? It's easy to say that we are. At a time also when we perhaps have quite a few things, can enjoy quite a few pleasures, may have good health. And yet, what if these things are taken away? What if we have things taken from us, as the Israelite, the people of Judah have the heathen come in and take them away into captivity? What happens when things are taken from us? What happens in times in which we're afflicted? Then are we impatient? One can see, one that is truly content has a contentment that does not go up and down with one's earthly circumstances. I often point to the illustration of a child, a young child that wants something. They set their mind on something. At that moment, they have something that they want. And if they get it, then they're happy and they're smiling. And if it's taken away, then they're crying and they're so upset. And then you give it back and they're happy. So their contentment goes up and down depending on whether they have what it is that they want at that very moment. And then a little bit later, it's something else that they want. And then a little bit later, it's something else that they want. And we realize how we are like that. True contentment is a gift of God. True contentment, one who has it, doesn't go up and down like that. Because one is content with God, satisfied with God, and always has then what one desires. We always have Him. And we know when things are taken away, it's the Lord's will that they be taken away. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He averts evil, or He turns it to our profit. We have Jehovah God, and we're to thank Him and praise Him, and to be content, and stand firm in trials, confident that His favor, His grace is sufficient. Now this is a confession that is made here, and a similar is made in the Psalms, where we say, I am one of those that is content with God alone. The Lord is my portion. So not just He's the portion of His people, but specifically making that confession to the Lord is my portion. My soul hath said, this text says. My soul has said. My soul. Shortly we'll read in the Lord's Supper form, let everyone say in his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now when we read that, we're to be saying that in our soul. It's like here when it says, Seth, my soul, when we read that, let everyone say in his heart thus, then we in our soul are to be saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. We sing in the Psalms, like Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. So we make this confession. We're saying it's not just the confession of others, but I personally make this confession. My soul hath said. And when it says, not just I say, but my soul hath said, that brings out the idea that it's one thing to say it with your body and outwardly say the words. But for it, when it comes out from the heart, this is something that our soul really says inwardly. Said by someone who is trusting God to provide all that we need, knowing that He will. And one who is making that confession genuinely, well, then that will be someone that's purposing to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life. That was part of self-examination. We are to come as those who are purposing to show true thankfulness to God in our whole life. one who says, Jehovah is my portion, one who loves God, is then he purposes the work of the Spirit within him. He purposes to show thankfulness to God in his whole life. Delighting to serve others. Not having thoughts on things below and selfishly trying to obtain more for himself, self-centered, but delighting to serve the Lord, to care for God's people, wondering, what would the Lord have me to do? How can I use my gifts for the advantage of other members of the body and show my thankfulness to my God? Resolved to walk in true love and peace. And peace with my neighbor. This is our confession from our soul. And sometimes confessed in times of great adversity. Like when the Lamentations was written. For us to make this confession in times of trial. Think of how difficult it would have been. The temple of God burnt. The people taken away to the strange land among the heathen whose mind is on things below. It's important that we remember to confess this in times of trial. When maybe loved ones, maybe somebody very dear to us is taken to glory. How difficult that trial is. Or how difficult it can be when we have ongoing pain. We don't think about it when we seem to be feeling well without pain, but as soon as we have an ongoing pain or an ongoing sickness, the difficulty of getting through each day. Or very rapidly, the things we possess can be taken away. In whatever type of trial that we go through, whatever difficulty we face, when we're persecuted, when others persecute and hate us and mock us, for us still to make that confession, for us to praise God, and for us to say, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. I have Jehovah. And to be content with him alone. That's quite a confession of faith. In Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Making that confession. We do when we sing that song. We confess, my flesh, my heart is faileth. But God, he's my strength. He's my portion. He's my portion forever. Nothing can separate us from his love. Content with him, we hope in him. And the psalm, the verse goes on, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. One who's content with him is hopes in him, believes his promise, looks forward. Not only are we content that we have him now, but we also hope for what God has promised us, for the full realization of our salvation. And the text makes a reference to hope. In verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." And then verse 25, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him." That idea of waiting, hoping, expecting. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." It's good that a man, it's good that I should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And you think of saying that in a time of great trial, it's good for me that I hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we administer that Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the Lord's death till he come. Our mind is also on his coming. So our mind is on what he has done, what he is doing, and what he has promised us, that he will return. He's promising he will continue to nourish our souls, and he will return for us, instituted in the night that he was betrayed. And as we think of the fact that our Lord who died for us will return for us, we are to go forward in confidence. On what basis do you look forward positively with confident expectation? If someone was to ask you that, on what basis do you look forward positively with a confident expectation? And the answer to that is the nature and faithfulness of God. We know our God. We know he's merciful. We know he loves us. We know he cares for us. We know he's faithful and he will do what he's promised. We have no doubt. And when our mind is on Jehovah, when our mind is on Christ, when our mind is on what God has promised us, rather than just on the difficulties that we face, remembering him and having our mind on him, and content with him, we praise him. We make this confession. We hope and quietly wait for the salvation of our God. In times of darkness, he's our light. In times of need, he's our treasure. In times of troubles, he gives us rest. All that we need, he provides. Conscious of our own lack, we come to God for all that we need, and he provides. May we partake by faith, with our mind on what Christ has done, thankful for his sacrifice, and saying in our heart, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," confessing, "The Lord is my portion, therefore will I hope in him." Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for thy word of truth, and so thankful that we have thee as our God, and as those who are nourished in our souls by thee. We give thee thanks, O Lord. We're so thankful for Christ's sacrifice, and to know that we're not our own, but belong to our Savior. May we be strengthened in our faith, O Lord, as we partake of the Lord's Supper to thy glory. For Christ's sake, amen.